And, well, I guess you were never more than a part-timer with Brooklyn, but the big trade to the Cubs, what did you think about that?
Well, I thought it was probably the dumbest trade that was ever made.
Really?
Right.
In what respect?
Well, I had a 14.5 game lead.
Yeah.
Trade half your ball club. They go on and lose it the last game of the season.
Yeah, they sure did. They're trying to get...
At the home run.
They were trying to get Pasco, weren't
I'm
they?
I'm surprised people don't consider that as well, probably one of the dumbest trades ever.
Yeah.
That was thanks to Charlie Dressen.
Dressen did that?
Oh, he was the man responsible, most responsible for it.
In doing interviews with ball players, Dressen's name comes up from time to time. I don't want to speak ill of the dead or have anybody else do it, but the general feeling is he was not the best manager who ever came down the pike.
Without a doubt.
In fact, yeah, that's what they say.
In fact, we gave him a book at home plate one time. 365 pages with the letter I on each page.
Okay. I hadn't heard that before. That's great. Yet he kept getting jobs and jobs and jobs.
Yeah, well, until he run into O'Malley.
Yeah.
O'Malley got rid of him.
Yeah, but then he still went on to Senators and to the Tigers, and wasn't he with somebody else, I think, after that?
I really didn't follow his career.
Nobody seemed...
Nobody. He was a two-bit gambler as far as I was concerned.
A couple of fellas have said that they just don't want to say anything about him, but nobody has said anything complimentary.
Yeah,
the Dodgers sure did blow it at that time, but you that was your chance. You made the most of it. You were a regular for the first time in 5 years.
Yep.
Did you enjoy playing in Chicago?
Oh, yeah. I always liked Chicago. It was one of my favorite cities.
Whose idea was it to make a center fielder out of you?
Stan Hack, I guess, was the manager at the time.
What did you think of him?
Oh, easygoing guy.
When I was a boy, I met him. He was managing the Angels out in the Coast League, I guess. I was about 13 or 14. And I don't know how he was to everybody, but he was certainly nice to a kid.
Oh, see, hell, you could play for him, you couldn't play for anybody.
I'm sorry?
He was a great person.
It's a shame he didn't have more talent there in Chicago.
Yeah.
What did you think of the switch to the outfield?
I enjoyed it. Yeah, only the biggest problem I had was running back and forth to the outfield. I got tired before the game. I was used to, walking out of there and playing third or right there in Chicago, it was two steps and you're on third base.
Right.
I think a lot of guys find that a problem. That jogging back and forth,
Well, when you're used to going 20 feet and all of a sudden you're going 400 feet, it is a difference.
Yes, you'd be surprised. It is. Before you got out there, hell, they're starting the first pitch.
You don't have to wait long. You were fast, yet you didn't steal many bases. This was a time when bases weren't stolen.
That's true.
Was that just the philosophy of the game at that time?
Take advantage or try to make somebody look like a damn fool stealing with a 15-run lead or anything like that.
Oh, they'll do it today.
Personal reasons, There was no such thing.
Yeah, that's the way it ought to be.
They'd break your leg somewhere along the line if you did that, or bean you one or the other.
Well, they can't bean you today because then they come out and fine you.
They can't do anything today. They're like, I guess today's baseball would be about, I would say, maybe hay ball.
It's diluted so much. It is so much weaker than I remember when I was a kid.
Again, my God, that's going to be frightening.
The minor leagues, now the lowest they go is A classification, and I guess that's because it sounds better than B, C, and D, but there's no minor leagues really anymore. And every city that's got more than a couple hundred thousand wants a major league team. I guess they're going to have to end up going to the colleges more and more instead of the minor leagues.
Oh, that's what they're doing, yeah.
What about the trade to St. Louis after 56? What did you think of that?
I was kind of surprised by it. On Frank Lane was a general manager. And I got a hold of Howard Paulette and asked him, how would you deal with him, you know, contract time? He said, well, whatever you do, don't send the first contract, because he won't think you don't think too much of yourself. So I got the first contract. I sent it back with a letter. He sent me a letter back and told me I was the highest paid utility ball player in baseball. So we quibbled back and forth, and I signed the contract. That was the end of that. You read in the papers today about Rizzuto and Reese making $40,000 and this and that, but he says they're closer to $25,000. You know, he was the guy signing everybody, whether I believed him, so I signed what he signed.
Well, I think Lane was probably honest, but he sure would trade anybody anytime.
Oh, yeah. Was Nick Trader Lane.
I heard that he even tried to trade Stan Musial one time when he was there in St. Louis. And Gussie Bush told him he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Is there one game that stands out in your memory as maybe the best game you had or the biggest thrill you had in your career?
Well, I think the time that stands out the most is when Reese was spiked and Spanky got spiked.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Stan Rojak went in that short second. I hit three home runs in 3 days, won three ball games.
Wow.
In that period of time of about, 2 weeks, I was hitting over 400. I went to the ballpark and one day and Bert Schotten was the manager. And never said a word to me. Spanky was back at second base.
Oh, boy.
Now, that's devastating to a young kid.
Boy, there it is. This is, what, 47?
It was totally devastating, yeah.
Jeez. You know, without even talking to you about it.
No, just had a meeting. He says, I put the lineup up, and that was it. That was it.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see where that could really be a heartbreak.
In fact, we were leading the league at the particular time. We increased our lead, I don't know, three or four games or whatever, and take me out of the ball game. Of course, I'd probably help Spanky get cured much quicker by the way I was playing.
Yes, I can well imagine. Yeah. A little job security or insecurity brings you around. Who was the best player you saw in your time?
Pete Reeser.
Before he was hurt, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand. It's well before my time, but I understand he was something.
Well, he was. He was a mold. I would put him in the category with Mantle.
Oh, really? Wow. He could do it all, evidently.
Yeah, power, right, left hand, everything.
It's a shame, but I guess you didn't have warning tracks then, did you?
What's that?
You didn't have warning tracks in the outfield back then.
No.
Like, that might have saved him a little bit.
Well, we put up this rubber mat out there in Ebbets Field, which is probably just as hard as the wall.
Uh-huh.
And they put one out in Chicago, but they didn't help me too much.
Well, you got the brick wall right behind it, and you're running full tilt. Even today with the plywood walls, they hurt when you hit them. And they didn't use plywood back then. Who was the best pitcher you saw?
I guess the most feared pitcher was Yul Blackwell.
Mm-hmm.
He was not only tough, but he was mean with it.
Alvin Dart said that they used to be checking when they were going into Cincinnati or Cincinnati's coming in. They checked to see what day Blackwell pitched the previous series so they could...
Yeah, a lot of guys got sick that day.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he was mean. Who was the toughest one on you?
couldn't answer that question, you know, who the toughest pitcher for me that I ever faced.
Well, a couple of fellows told me when you're going bad, they're all tough, and when you're going good, none of them are.
I guess Magley was pretty rough on you.
Yeah, he was rough on a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, good pitcher. It's a shame he lost those years.
Yeah, yeah.
But you have a career highlight that I would bet that probably 99% of today's baseball fans aren't aware. You scored the winning run in the 1947 World Series.
It was on the $40,000 question.
Was it really?
$4,000 question, rather. I was one of the parts of the last, well, to win the $64,000. Who's that doctor, the woman?
Oh, okay, I don't remember, but I know who you mean.
Yeah. She was on the show. Why, she won the prize, I believe.
Yeah, that was 30 years ago when they were asking those questions. And today, I bet you, she may still know if she's around, but most of them don't.
Oh, yeah.
What are your recollections of that game, other than the fact that Bevins couldn't get home plate if he was trying, he was so wild?
Well, I knew there was two outs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on second base, John Frieda on second. I was on first, John Frieda on second. And on every pitch, McGlynn was playing first, and he was playing way back, trying to knock anything down, you know.
Right.
And the minute the ball was hit, hell, I was, before that ball hit the wall out there, I was on beyond second. There was no play for me whatsoever, though. And Tommy Henrik, I spoke with him at one of these outings at an old-timers game, and I asked him, he always contended if that ball came right back down at him, he'd have had a shot at me in home plate, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I knew he'll. I don't give a damn if he got that ball jumped up against the wall and did whatever he had to do. He'd never throw me out at home plate because I had too much of a lead.
Yeah, something like that.
No way. I never had a shot at you any way, shape, or form because I had too good of a jump.
It seems like in a situation like that, they would have been holding you a little bit anyhow.
If they tried to pick me off, I think they would have.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't want a chance throwing the ball in right field, you know, or whatever.
So. I was going to say, with Bevins, it could have been anybody's guess where the ball went.
Yeah.
Oh, that must have been a pretty exciting moment.
Yes, it was.
You played in another World Series 2 years later, and had a couple of hits, including a double. Do you remember any of those?
I remember one I hit off of Tommy Byrne that I thought was in the gap there without no problem.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was high up on the wall, and DiMaggio went over there and picked it off like he was taking grapes off of the line.
It was pretty.
It looked so easy. I couldn't believe it.
He was a pretty good ball player, wasn't he?
The best.
Most of the fellows I've spoken with, American leaguers, anyhow, from that era, say that there's just no contest. He was the greatest ever.
No contest.
In 1964, you received a vote for the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
Who gave that to you?
Whoever it was is the only guy who knows anything about the game. Guy was very well educated.
Well, it's nice to know there's some of them out there.
I don't know who the hell it was, but I'll tell you what, I got a lot of calls at home.
Did you really?
Oh, did I? Anyone know who it was?
Well, I remember I was checking the Hall of Fame results in the papers. I was in college at the time, and there you were down there with a vote, and you were one of my favorite players. I was glad. I didn't think necessarily you belonged there, but I was awful glad you got the vote.
I don't know who it was, to tell you the truth.
He's probably
well, it was Jim Enright out there in Chicago.
You think so?
Well, I could have been, yeah.
Yeah. Whoever it is probably long gone now.
Yeah.
You went to Kent State University in the offseason.
What's that?
Did you go to Kent State University in the offseason?
No.
Okay, I'd read somewhere you went somewhere in the offseason.
No, I never did.
Okay. I don't know where I came up with that.
I don't either.
It was somewhere years ago. Okay. Did you save souvenirs from your baseball career?
No.
Do you want a collector?
Nope.
Do you get much?
All I have is my uniform for the 47 series.
Oh, great. Boy, that's something.
And some guy's offering me $3,500 for it.
Wow. I bet you can get, probably get twice that if you were of a mind. Gee whiz. That memorabilia is so hot today.
I've got some World Series bats, you know, 47 and 49, but that's about the extent of it.
Those are great things to have.
Yeah.
Do you get much fan mail today?
Oh, man, it's bothersome.
Is it really?
Yeah. Ever since the, even now, more so now than ever, they reproduce some of these Cub bubblegum cards.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you, I get them every day. Every day. Where the hell they get them, but they sure come up with them.
Okay, well, this is a side effect of these interviews. I can put a note in. You will get an increase in your fan mail for a couple of weeks after this appears. Do you want me to put a note in the interview that not to overwhelm you, just to send maybe one thing or something like that?
Nah, don't bother with that. Just let it.
Okay. I know one fellow. I guess you probably played against him, Gale Harris, first baseman. He said he averaged about four or five things a week, and after the interview came out, he said he got over 100 items in the first 3 weeks.
Is that right?
He was just swamped with it.
Well, I get three or four every day.
Wow.
Right now, and it's picking up.
I guess it's a very, very big hobby right now.
Yeah. I got to, you know, I sign them all and send them out, and I let a week go by, and my God, I got them stacked all over the house here.
Yeah, I guess you got to stay on it. You were a very popular ball player.
Yeah.
Are you getting it from the fans who remember you, or is it from kids today who've heard about you?
Some kids from today and the fans who remember me when I played, elderly people.
Uh-huh.
Fathers that are getting their sons into it and whatever.
Well, that's great. It's a good hobby. It's maybe being abused a little bit by some of the people trying to sell the stuff, but I think it's a real good hobby.
Well, I had one guy sent me the scene of me sliding in the home plate on that Bill Bevins.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me like 8 copies of sign, right?
No kidding.
And I wrote a note back. I said, I think, you know, you're taking advantage of me on this situation, you know?
Certainly.
And I sent it back with the note. Do you know what?
Hmm.
I got about a month later from the same gentleman a blowing up copy of about 12, not hell, it's more than 12 by 12, probably 18 by 18, you know,
wow.
The size of the same picture.
Uh-huh.
And with Yogi Berra's signature on these pictures now, right? The first batch that he sent me didn't have Yogi Berra, just had, I signed it, probably he sent it to Berra, you know?
Uh-huh.
First thing, it showed Berra at home plate and he slide. The next batch came in with a Yogi Berra signature, but not mine.
Oh, boy.
That's still in my house.
Okay, now that, a guy's got to be selling those.
Ah, yeah, yeah, without a doubt.
And there's...
My son went out and checked it out, what they're worth. I think he can get $150 a piece for them, whatever.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
I know, I've seen ads. This publication, this will appear in, and when you will send you some copies, when you see it, you'll see lots of ads. I've seen ads for, like, Joe DiMaggio's.
What are you doing this interview for?
It's called Sports Collector's Digest. It's geared to baseball card collectors.
Uh-huh.
And it's a weekly publication. I don't know what the circulation is, but it's rather specialized circulation. And just people who are interested in, you know, baseball and football and basketball cards.
They're all over the place, those card collectors.
They sure are.
In this little town here of mine, I think there's 2 or 3 of them right, you know, in the malls around here.
I can't believe they're all making money. Maybe they are.
Yeah.
I'm in Lexington, Kentucky, and I know there's probably 6 of them here in town. And they keep making more and more cards.
Yeah. I mean, the autograph signing shows that they have. Cal Abrams just called me up a couple of days ago and wanted me to go out to California for a card signing show.
Wow.
I see, I'm a big kid.
Did they pay your way on those things?
Yeah, they pay for everything.
Jeez.
They paid he didn't tell me where it was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He said, would you want to go to a card show? He tells me he's going to be there, Hermansky, John Frito, Chuck Connors, you know, and a couple other guys. Chuck's out in California. And I said, he said, well, you know, the guy offered you so much money, but I thought, no, you wouldn't accept that. You'll only go for whatever Hermansky and John Frieda are getting, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, what are they going to get out of this trip, you know? He says, well, they're going to get $800. And I told him, he says, well, okay, give Ed $800, too. They won't offer me $500.
No.
I said, $800 to go to California? I said, forget it.
Yeah.
No, I didn't accept it.
It would seem to, you know, and they're going to charge, what are they going to charge, $6 or $8 for your autograph?
Yeah.
And I don't guess you get any of that, do you?
No.
Yeah. That's no good. Well, would you go back to age 17 and be a baseball player again?
Yes, sir.
You like it?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any regrets?
I guess the biggest regret I have that they didn't have this here deal that they have with the kids today, you know, free agency. And I'd have been worth a hell of a lot of money that day, I guess.
I guess the 1 year that you were the regular everyday center fielder, you led the league in fielding, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you could play. I don't know if you did play everywhere, but it looked like you could play everywhere. You played the whole infield and the whole outfield, I guess.
Oh, when I was with the Dodgers, Shotten wanted to make me a pitcher.
No kidding.
Yeah. At a clubhouse meeting, he said, we need another pitcher on the staff. He said, I can go to the minor leagues, but he said, I think we have one sitting right here. He said, what do you think, Mixus? I said, put that screen up in front of me, I give it a shot. I said, without that, forget it.
Did you ever try it at all?
Huh?
Did you ever try it?
I threw batting practice quite a bit. I could have pitched.
That ball does turn around awful fast up there sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I pitched in college, and I remember one day, I don't know what I was doing wrong, but I got about 5 shots right back through the box in a row, and the last one broke my cup, and I was through for about a week. It was just too close.
See, whenever I threw batting practice, though, I'd let them know what was coming sometimes, you know, whoever won it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'd simulate the guy who was throwing against us and the way he threw sidearm overhand, whatever. That's the way I throw batting practice. Don't tell. And I had two, you know, different types of curveballs, changeup, everything else. That goddamn Furlough tried to kill me all the time. We kept hitting right through the box. They go whistling by there. I said, that's enough of that.
He was a good ball player. He just died here a year or so back, didn't he?
What's that?
He just died a year or so ago, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he lives here in Pennsylvania. He did. Stony Creek, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, he was, I was very partial to him, too, when I was a kid. I think I became a fan of yours. I don't know when. Somewhere along the line, it was after you left the Dodgers. So, I don't know, but I remember I followed your career. Well, I lived out in California, and every day we'd get all the box scores because there was no late night toast games or anything like that then. And I'd go through and I'd check to see what you did, and I'd write it down in a notebook. And then I'd check every Sunday, and if the Sunday paper didn't agree with what I had, the Sunday paper had to be wrong because I know I'd got everything you'd done the previous week.
Yeah.
I did that for 3 or 4 years. Well, Eddie, thank you. I really appreciate your time. Would you like to see this before I send it to the magazine?
Just send me the magazine.
Okay, you don't want to check it over to make sure I'm saying everything correctly?
I trust you.
Okay, thank you.
Okey-doke.
How many copies would you like of the magazine?
Let's see. I'll give one to each one of my kids. I have 5 children.
Okay, so 6 copies?
Good enough.
Okay, great. Eddie, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks very much. Bye-bye.